You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach talking Boston Red Sox with MLB.com's Red Sox beat reporter, Ian Brown. Ian, first with the news, how is Hanley Ramirez?
Well, we're going to know more in the coming days here, but it's certainly a concern when Hanley Ramirez bangs his shoulder into the left field corner of Fenway Park, making what looked like a pretty nice catch, only to have it a weird call by the umpire. But, you know, I think that it's concerning because he's had two shoulder surgeries in his career on that same shoulder. And with the shoulder, you know, sprain or whatever they're calling it, you never really know the severity until a few days later to see how quickly it heals. But, you know, this guy's been hitting at such a high level that you don't want any, even if he does come back soon, you don't want any nagging injuries to sort of impact the way he's been hitting. I mean, like I've been saying, he's the one biggest bright spot of their season so far. Really, it's been a season that hasn't had a lot of great storylines for the Red Sox, and Hanley's been one of them so far. So, yeah, it's really concerning right now until you know the true severity of it.
Are they in a position where they are comfortable really being emphatic with him about not coming back too soon? I mean, it's kind of a tough position. They need his bat, but at the same time, as you note, front shoulder for a power hitter is not quite up there with a wrist, but it's one of those injuries that can be a really big deal and can have lingering effects.
Yeah, no, I think they're going to be smart with it. They're not, you know, they made a pretty good investment in this guy for 4 years, and then an option year for a fifth. You're paying him quite a bit of money, so I think that the Red Sox will do good. You know, looking at the big picture here, looking at the fact that they have a guy sitting around in Alan Craig who's been a pretty good player in his career. And, you know, he obviously hasn't been able to get on track yet this season, but he also has been playing regularly. So maybe if there's one bright spot to Hanley Ramirez being out for maybe a short amount of time, is that you can get Alan Craig regular at bats. I mean, if I'm John Farrell, I know he's got Brock Holt sitting around on the bench. I know he's got Daniel Nava sitting around on the bench sometimes. I would put Alan Craig's name in the lineup every single day until Hanley Ramirez gets back, just to see if he can get this guy on track and get him back to what he was. Because if he even gets close to what he was when he was in St. Louis, you know, you're not going to miss a ton of offense, even with Hanley Ramirez out.
And you kind of set me up there. I mean, I think everybody knows what I would do, which is I would make sure that the wrench was in the lineup on a daily basis. And it sounds like that's what you do. Do you think that's what John Farrell is going to do? Do you think that for now, Alan Craig is the left fielder until Ramirez is back, or do you think that maybe it's more mix and match than that?
Maybe a little more mix and match, but I would say right now, Craig is certainly going to get the bulk of the starts because, look, you're already down Shane Victorino in right field for about another week or so. So you have Brock Holt getting most of the starts in right. Daniel Nava has gotten off to a start that's almost as slow as the one Alan Craig has gotten off to. So yeah, I think you are going to see Craig out there the bulk of the time and left that you know, while Hanley's out.
And what is Victorino's status right now?
Yeah, Victorino, he's going to go on a rehab at the end of this week, and the goal is to get Shane Victorino back in the lineup for the West Coast trip that starts a week from yesterday. So it starts in 6 days from now in Oakland. They're going to skip playing him in Toronto on that turf next week. This weekend. They don't think that's going to do him any good. So it'll be interesting to see how much Shane Victorino plays when he comes back. Because, look, Brock Holt's done a pretty nice job in right field lately and also doing a nice job at the plate. So Shane is going to kind of have to earn his playing time a little bit, I think, when he comes back.
And it's like you're campaigning to remove me from my job. You keep asking my questions before I ask them. Because that is one thing I'm wondering is, you know, they made a big statement about, and Victorino himself really kind of made a big statement in the spring that, a healthy Victorino is basically an everyday player on this team, and I wonder if that's still the case. Does he come back, and is he an everyday player? And I think the second question, and maybe the more important question, because I think we know he's not going to be exactly an everyday player, is how much of a problem is that? I mean, Shane Victorino has a reputation certainly as a winner and a good clubhouse guy. He's also a very proud guy, and I don't think he's going to be a guy who's real happy to be sitting if he's healthy and on the roster.
Yeah, look, I think Shane, you know, he understands the situation. He knows that it's a game of production, and he knows that, you know, he's had a chance here to produce early in the season. They didn't do it. I think he'd like to get some more at-bats when he comes back to get another little chance. But he knows that if bottom line, if he's not producing, they have other options. I don't think Shane Victorino is going to make a big stink about it. He knew the deal coming in. And I think he really appreciated that John Farrell gave him the job and said it was his job to lose going into spring, and then he gave it to him, and Shane not only didn't hit, but then he kind of got another hamstring injury. So I think Shane's very accountable, and he really appreciates the way John Farrell is handling this. So, you know, I don't think it's been a problem. It'll be a problem. And the one thing John Farrell said, he said, fully healthy and fully capable, Shane Victorino is our right fielder. I mean, Shane, at least offensively, didn't seem fully capable in April of doing what he had done in the past. You know, maybe it was cold weather, maybe it was getting his timing back, but it's sure going to be interesting to see how he responds at the plate when he does come back next week.
And the other fairly major injury situation for the Red Sox, they're now doing without Ryan Hannigan. How exactly are they going to handle that? I mean, that's already not an ideal situation to start with, but how do they go forward with catching position?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of very similar to Christian Vasquez last year. You know, you're sort of throwing him into the fire. With Vasquez, it was July of last year. You know, with Hannigan, it's with you know, with Swihart, it's earlier in the season. It's in May, so you hope that he can handle it. He's as good a prospect as people think. I think maybe they'd still like to get another a guy more impressive than Sandy Leon to sort of share the playing time with Swihart, because you just can't put Sandy Leon in the lineup very much because he does not give you very much offense, if any. So I think that's maybe the bigger thing they're going to try to find is sort of a veteran backup to pair with Swihart. Maybe somebody can sort of mentor him a little bit, because you remember last year Vasquez had David Ross, and that was kind of an ideal situation for him. So I think they might do kind of a similar thing, you know, in the coming weeks here with Swihart. But certainly he is going to get the majority of the playing time behind the plate.
If someone were inclined to put two and two together and get four, that someone could note that Jared Saltalamacchia was just released, and then also note that guy has a little bit of history with that organization. Is there a potential fit there?
Yeah, Matthew, from what I've gathered, the Red Sox just don't seem to think there is a fit anymore, and I think that Saltalamacchia, for whatever reason, has lost a lot in the last couple of years. I don't think he had a great falling out with the team in the World Series when, you know, Salty was benched midway through the World Series, and from their perception, he kind of sulked a little bit, I think, and I think it left a bad taste in some people's mouths. And I also think that quietly they wonder how good a catcher he is, you know, behind the plate. I think they have a lot of questions about his defense, and you've certainly seen his defense drop off, you know, in the time he's been, you know, with the Miami Marlins. So I don't see a Salty reunion at this point.
Well, now I want to geek out a little bit, because we can't do one of these without talking about Clay Buchholz, but we also can't talk about the same things every time. So I did a little look at his numbers, and there are some really interesting things in there. He's getting absolutely obliterated with runners in scoring position. Hitters are hitting .484 against him with runners in scoring position, because it jumps out. His strikeout rate's pretty good. His walk rate's pretty good. His home run rate's pretty good. All those peripherals look good, and he's just getting crushed in RBI situations. Do you think there's anything to that? Is there anything that he might be giving away? Is he maybe tipping? Does he get too fastball happy? Is there any reason you could see that would be the case?
Yeah, it's funny with Clay. He keeps talking about bad luck and the ball's not getting hit at guys, and that gets tough to hear for a while if you're a Red Sox player, if you're a Red Sox fan, because you know you want to see results from this guy, and you need this guy more than ever right now. And I think that it's the same old thing, that when some adversity mounts, he's really having a hard time stopping the bleeding, and you just wonder, you know, if he's ever really gotten his stuff back from that injury. That he was the best pitcher in the American League the first 2-3 months of 2013, and he just, you know, we're going on a season plus now, including all last year and into this year, where he hasn't been that same guy. He just doesn't have the put-away stuff that he used to have. So it's very concerning right now. You just wonder if he's still trying to overcome some sort of mental hurdle here. But Clay Buchholz, I think, is the most concerning point of this entire team right now.
One other thing that I noticed in looking through there is he's been at his worst the first time through the order, and then more effective later, which is kind of unusual. Typically, there's a real penalty. The more times hitters see you, the more luck they have. Again, We probably should have talked beforehand. I probably should have run these numbers by you so I'm not just throwing them at you. But, again, is that something where that kind of jives with what you're seeing? Is there a reason that you would see with him that that would make sense or that would be the case?
No, but I will tell you this. I mean, that's the complete opposite of what they need right now because, well, it's nice that he's kind of getting back in the game and not just, you know, completely giving in like he did that night at Yankee Stadium earlier in the season. You know, you need the guy who's perceived as your best starting pitcher. You need him to come out and set an early tone, give your team a chance to take the lead instead of playing from behind every night. So just, you know, whatever reason, he's not as focused as he should be early in the game. He's not executing like he should be early in the game. And, you know, it's all very concerning and alarming. And, you know, they have a $13 million option on him for next season that once looked like a complete no-brainer given the price of pitching these days. But right now I don't see it as a no-brainer. So I think Clay Buchholz is not only pitching to try to keep this team in the pennant race, but he's also pitching to stay in Boston next year right now.
All right. Well, Ian Brown, thank you for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.